When I think, or when you think of the term drugstore cowboy, what comes to your mind? Don't point at people. Yeah. He's a fake. No, don't point at people. But listen, what do you think of when you think of a drugstore cowboy? Anybody? Wannabe? Yeah, I heard wannabe over here. An imitation. You know, again, a fake. Something. You know, somebody that's trying to be something that they're not. You know, I think of the big screen. You know, people that play cowboys on the big screen. You know, and you look at them, and instead of them wearing a hat, their hat is wearing them. You know what I'm saying? They just don't look right. I mean, it just doesn't fit right. And maybe it's, you know, that cowboy that, you know, that wears the, you know, cowboy clothes that they got from L.A. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not picking on anybody, really. Maybe I am. But, you know, again, they maybe wear the clothes, but they've never really lived the cowboy lifestyle, right? And can I just say this before I go any further? We love drugstore cowboys. Amen? We do. If you're here and you're a drugstore cowboy, we're glad that you're here. And it doesn't matter what you wear or how you act, I mean, or how you look or whatever. Again, we want you here. But here's the thing. When you think of a drugstore cowboy, again, you may think of the fake or the imitation. Now, we're going to play a game, okay? Now, here's the game. I'm going to show you a picture on the screen, and you tell me whether it's a drugstore cowboy or the real deal. Okay, you ready? Here's the first picture. Come on now. Anybody know who this guy is? Say it. Drugstore cowboy or real deal? Real deal. That guy right there, his name's Justin McBride. He's from, you know him, yeah. He's from down at Elk City or around there, around those parts. He was a 2- or 3-time world champion PBR bull rider. Awesome, awesome bull rider. Show a picture of him bull riding. Yeah, there he is, PBR. All right, show the next picture. Drugstore cowboy or real deal? Who is that guy? Billy Crystal. Remember City Slickers? That's the guy right there. Drugstore cowboy, baby, right there. All right, go to the next one. Real deal. Who is that guy? Chris Ledoux. Chris Ledoux was a world champion bronc rider back in the day. Show that picture, yeah. And he was obviously a country singer. Most of you guys know him from the Garth Brooks song where, you know, the worn-out tape of Chris Ledoux. But that's the real deal right there. All right, show the next one. Is that the urban cowboy? That's the drugstore cowboy right there. That's John Travolta for all you younger folks. Yeah, he created the drugstore cowboy. Anyways, drugstore cowboy. All right, show me the next one. Kind of hard to see, but anybody know who that guy is? That guy, actually, his last name is Eastwood, and his first name is Scott. So who's he the son of? Clint Eastwood. I don't know if he's the real deal or not, but I think he's a drugstore cowboy. He plays a cowboy in a movie called The Longest Ride. Just came out. Good movie, I guess. I've not seen it. Don't go see it until we... Never mind. Because it was by a romance novelist that wrote this. So, whatever that is. Anyways, so Scott Eastwood, I would say maybe a drugstore cowboy. All right, keep going. Who's that guy? William Shatner. Now, again, some of you guys may not know this, but I think he would be considered maybe the real deal because here's the truth. He owns a stable full of horses, and he actually shows in the reining. And so show that next picture. Yeah, that's him on some pretty fancy horses, and he's pretty stinking good at it. So you never can, you never know. All right, keep going. Real deal or drugstore? Real deal. Some of you guys know this, guys. George Strait, he's the real deal. Some of you girls don't lust. No lusting? No lusting in church. Keep your body all together here. But that's George Strait. He puts on a George Strait team roping every year, and he's the real deal. Owns his own ranch, rides his own horses. So, all right, keep going. What's the next one? Now, don't insult me by saying he's a drugstore cowboy, because I don't care what you say. He may be Robert Duvall, and he may be an actor, but that's the real deal right there. Can I get an amen? That's Gus McCrae right there from the movie Lonesome Dove. But so you may be thinking, well, what's the point? Well, a drugstore cowboy is someone that, again, is a imitation of the real deal. Now, on the other hand, a real deal cowboy not only looks the part, and again, some people think you got to look the part to be a real deal cowboy. It's probably not always true. Some of the cowboys that are the best cowboys in the world don't look the part. It's kind of weird. But, I mean, again, so you can take that for whatever it's worth. But a real deal cowboy not only looks the part, but they live the life. Right? They live the life. They can ride, they can rope, they can work cattle all in a normal day. And they know what it means to have a sweat ring around the rim of their hat. Right? I mean, it differentiates them from the drugstore cowboy. Now, again, you think, well, what's the point of all this? Well, I want to start a series today called The Drugstore Christian. The Drugstore Christian. The subtitle is this: How to Be the Real Deal. How to be the real deal. For the sake of this series, I'm going to compare the drugstore cowboy to what I'm going to call a drugstore Christian. Now, again, like a drugstore cowboy, a drugstore Christian, and here I'll define it more later, but they may claim, again, to be something on the outside, but their life doesn't really show it, right? They may say one thing, but their actions speak otherwise. They may even quote a scripture, but they don't live by the scripture that they quote. Now, here's the truth today. Some of you guys are going to get your toes stepped on. You're welcome. You're welcome. But here's the thing. It is not my intention to just dog people who are living a fake life. I mean, a lot of people think that a successful preacher is a preacher who just points out sin and then lets people deal with it. That's not my objective at all. Here's my objective. My objective is to show what a real deal Christian looks like and to help you get there. It's not to say you're a dirty, rotten fake, even though you may be a dirty, rotten fake. It's to show you how to be the real deal. And so again, so this series, I want us to learn how to be the real deal. Because here's why. From day one, our church has sought to be a real deal church with real deal followers. And again, you say, well, I'm not perfect. How can I be the real deal? It's not about perfection. It's about loving and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. I mean, again, some of you are here today and you're thinking, well, I can't live up to the Bible. I can't live up to that. Join the crowd. Join the crowd. None of us are going to be perfect, but we ought to desire to love and to live for the Lord. And that's what should separate us. We've said things in our church like this. It's okay to look like the culture that we live in and that we love. And again, you say, well, what's that mean? Well, like our cowboy hats. We just torn down the religious barrier of, oh, you can't wear a hat in church. Okay, well, in our church you can. We want you to be real. If you wear it on Monday, you ought to be able to wear it on Sunday. If you got poo on your boots, you ought to be able to still come into church. Amen? Amen. You like the smell of money all around you? You ought to be able to come to church. You know what I'm saying? I mean, again, so we've torn down some religious barriers in hopes of being the real deal. I'm not perfect. Nobody in here is perfect, but we can be the real deal. And so, listen, you know, again, we believe that you can look the part of the culture, but you ought to live a radically different life. Does that make sense? It's just what we've tried to be. A Thousand Hills, here's what else we've done. We've tried to reject what many Christians are doing when they look the part of a Christian, but they don't actually live it in reality. Does that make sense? I mean, I know a lot of people, and again, I'm just as guilty as some of them are, but they look the part. They may dress to impress. They may quote a few scriptures. They may say, I love the man upstairs, the man in the moon. I mean, they say all these things about, you know, how spiritual they are, but they're not actually living it. Does that make sense? And so our desire, is to not only just, you know, say we love God, but to actually live it and be the real deal. Just like a drugstore cowboy doesn't live the actual lifestyle of a cowboy, so many Christians, sadly, don't live the life that they claim. And here's the truth. You say, well, why don't they? Well, number one is this. They don't know how. They don't know how. I mean, many of you are here today and you weren't raised in a Christian home like I was. Many of you are here today and you didn't have a father who read the Word of God to you every night before you went to bed like I did. You didn't have a mother who prayed for you every night when she, you know, knelt on her knees and prayed. Many of you didn't have that kind of upbringing. You've never had a Christian example in your life. And so here's the thing. A lot of people, and this is where mercy comes in a lot of people's lives, because, again, a lot of Christians, they look at people and they go, well, they should know better. I mean, they should live the lifestyle. If they're going to call themselves a Christian, they should know how to do it. No, listen, they don't know. And so for us to go, you should know better when they don't know, it's just ludicrous for us to even think they ought to live the life of the real deal Christian because they don't know how. And can I just say this? I praise God if you're here today and you don't know how, because today you're going to learn how. Amen? I mean, it's the coolest thing. I love our church. You know why? Because you can come dirty spiritually and physically. We reach people that are, some pretty sorry people according to the world around us. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we reach people that are pretty sorry, they've done some pretty sorry things. I mean, obviously, all of us are sinners, but you look around and you think, well, they're in church. I mean, we've had people come to church just to see if those people are really coming to our church. I mean, it's funny. I mean, they're like, did lightning strike when that guy showed up? And I'm like, heck no. I mean, but here's the truth. We love it that they're here. You know why? Because they can learn how to be the real deal. You say, well, why else? Why else don't they live it? I mean, if they claim it, why else don't they live it? Here's the other truth. Some people know how, but they've chosen to live a lukewarm, sorry life that won't make a hill of beans in the light of eternity. They've chosen it. I mean, some people have chosen not to live fully committed lives to Jesus Christ. And so, again, maybe you're that person. Maybe you're that person that, you know, I've just chosen, I'm just going through the motions, I just say the right things. When the preacher comes by, I tell my friends not to cuss around him. I mean, it happens. It does happen. When people introduce me as the preacher to their friends, that means don't cuss. You know what I'm saying? I'm just telling you. I mean, it's code. It's code for that. But again, you, maybe you're that person as well. Well, at Thousand Hills, here's the truth. We want those who don't know how to learn how. We don't want them to be left behind. We don't want them to feel like they can't. We don't want them to feel like they're not good enough. Listen, you belong here before you believe. You belong here before you understand. You belong here before you feel like you're worthy. You belong here because none of us are worthy. None of us. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And so you may be thinking, well, so what is a drugstore Christian and how do I become the real deal? Well, number one is this. This is the only point, the main point that I've got today, and then I've got a couple subpoints. Number one, the drugstore Christian believes in God but doesn't know him. I'm going to say it again. The drugstore Christian believes in God, but doesn't know him. Listen to Paul's words in Titus about those who just believe in God. Listen to this in Titus chapter 1, verse 16. It says, they claim to what? They claim to know God, but by their what? By their actions, they what? Deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. You say, Bo, what's all that mean? Well, listen, when you say, well, what's the difference between believing and knowing God? And the answer is a lot. It's a lot. I mean, there are a lot of people that believe in God, but don't know him. You say, well, what's that? What's that look like? Well, I'll give you some of my pet peeves, okay? I have a few pet peeves about the Cowboys, you know, or Cowboy lifestyle. Number one is this. I don't like bootmakers that don't wear boots. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, they're like, hey, I make the best boot in the world. Well, do you wear them? No, not really. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Or here's another thing. I don't like bit makers or spur makers that don't ride horses. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make sense. I've never understood it. I want to introduce you to a couple that I believe is the real deal, and I'm going to show you some of their work here. There's a couple that many of you guys maybe have heard of, and it's Joe and Beru Spiller. Anybody ever heard of Joe Spiller or Beru Spiller? Yeah, if you've ever heard of them, I mean, Joe, or actually I'll start with Beru. Beru, show that picture of Beru right there. Yeah, she's won many awards in versatility, AQHA versatility, and she's won in the SHOT, you know, the Stock Horses of Texas. She's won a lot of awards. But she's also a silver maker and does a lot of silver work. I met her at the WRCA finals. Great gal. Her husband, show the picture of her husband. Her husband is Joe Spiller, and that is actually a horse that I actually own. Joe started this horse. Joe bought or raised this horse, and then he sold it to a buddy who sold it to a buddy, and I bought it from a buddy. And so if you ever see me on a black horse, I call him Fonzie, but that's Joe Spiller on the horse that I get to ride. And so, again, you say, well, what's the point? Well, Joe is a world-renowned bit and spur maker. These are some of Joe's spurs. They're not mine, obviously, but these are some of Joe's spurs that he's made. An awesome set of spurs, and this is a bridle set and, you know, some bits that Joe has made as well. And you can come look at these, but you can't touch them. You know why? Because his bits started about $4,000. $4,000. I'm holding about $8,000 worth of bits right here, and they're not mine. And if I had a safe, they'd be in the safe right now because I'm scared I'm going to lose them. So don't even touch them. Don't even act like you're going to touch them. No, I'm just kidding. But these are Joe Spiller bits, and you say, well, what makes them so expensive? Well, here's the thing. I want to read you a quote that was in the Western Horseman, and they did an article on Joe and Beru Spiller. And listen to this quote from Joe, and he's saying. He's telling people what the key is to being a real bit in spur maker. Listen to what he says. One of the keys to his success, and that of any bit or spur maker, he points out, is experience riding and training horses. Now listen to this. I've had a lot of young makers visit in my shop, and I tell them all the same thing, Joe says. To be a good bit maker, you need to be a little bit of a horseman. And to be a good spur maker, you need to be a little bit of a cowboy. Understanding horses, he explains, helps him figure out how to build a bit that will improve a horse's performance or attitude. You know what Joe is saying right there? The key to not just being a good bit and spur maker, but to being a really good bit and spur maker is experience with horses. It's experience riding them. It's experience training them. It's experience knowing what their mouth is like, knowing what works in certain horses and what doesn't work in certain horses. And it's these men that have this experience, life experience, with horses that make the best spur makers. Now you say, well, what's the point? Well, I believe the same is true in our lives as Christians. The first sub-point that I have is this. Those who know God have experienced him. They don't just know about him. They don't just believe that there's a God. They actually have experienced him. They've experienced him in their lives. The believer in God claims that, oh, I know how to be saved, or, you know, I know the definitions of church words, and I know some of the little silly songs that we've learned in church, but they've never really experienced God himself. On the other hand, those who know God, they have really experienced him. And they know him in a personal way. I'll give you an example of this. Some people know me, but some people don't know me as well as others. Now, if you kind of know me, you know my name's Bo. And so if you come up to me and say, hey, Bo, and then, I mean, obviously you know my name. Some people may know me a little bit more, and they call me Pastor Bo. Because they maybe have read online, or, you know, they know me from church. You guys know me from church. That's Pastor Bo. Don't call me Brother Bo. It's just too old for me. You can call my wife's sister Heather, but don't call me Brother Bo. Please do call her Sister Heather. It's fun. But maybe you know me a little bit more and you call me Pastor Bo. Maybe, you know, those that know me a little bit more, they call me, you know, like Cephas. Like some of my friends, Bo Cephas, yeah, they call me Cephas. Or, you know, maybe some of my friends, they call me Diddley. Not because I don't know Diddley squat, but because of Bo Diddley. You know what I'm saying? So, and some of my good friends know me this. Now, some of the people that know me better, they call me Bo Baron. You know why? Because my middle name's Baron. And so they know me. My mom knows me really well. She wiped my butt for about the first 6 years of my life. Maybe four, maybe five. I don't know, before I got out of diapers. Anyways, some people may know me as Bo Baron, but my good friends, you know, again, are people that really, really know me, that you know what they call me? They call me Dad. My kids really, really know me. And the person that knows me the best, you know what she calls me? She calls me honey. She calls me babe. And no one else needs to call me that. There's only one person. There's only one person that calls me honey. But here's the thing. You say, well, what's the point? Well, here's the point. When and I'm not picking on a lot of people because I probably said this myself, but when some people come to me and they say, Bo, the man upstairs just, you know, revealed himself and, you know, was really taking care of me, really took care of me, or, you know, the keeper of the stars really, you know, he just pulled it through in my life. You know what? Those phrases are kind of cool and stuff, but they really don't show that you're fully in knowing God. Does that make sense? The people that I know really, really know God, you know what they say about God? They say, he's my Father. You know what they say? He's my Savior. You know what they say? He's the forgiver of my sins. He's the love of my life. He's my Lord and my Savior. You know how they know that? Because they know him personally. It's not just some gimmicky little thing that they just make this phrase up. Yeah, that good old boy upstairs, he knows me. You know what? No, listen. When you truly know him, you know him intimately. And those words like Father come out. Those words like, you know, Savior come out. Those words, you know, again, like Lord come out. Because they really know him. John 17:3 says this. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Here's the truth. If you truly know him, then you've experienced his salvation of your sins. If you truly know him, you've experienced his goodness. You've experienced his forgiveness. You've experienced his guidance. You experienced his conviction of your sin. You experience the power when you don't know what to do. The power of God wells up inside of you, and you can experience that in a personal well or a personal way. You experience his provision when you don't know what else to do and you don't have anywhere else to turn. You don't have the money to make ends meet. He provides. That's what people that know him really feel. And because they've experienced him, their life is changed forever. Yes. And so listen, those who truly know him, those that have experienced him, again, they've experienced him in a personal way. Number two is this: those who know him live for him. Those who truly know God live for him. Now, listen to this scripture in James chapter 2. It says this: what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is what? Dead. But some will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Do you see the point here? I mean, the demons of this world, the devil, guess what? The devil believes in God, but he doesn't trust him. The devil believes that there's a God, and he knows he's going to get his butt kicked at the end of this whole world deal. And the end of this life, he's going to get his butt kicked, but he doesn't trust in him. And his actions don't prove that he really knows him. And so you say, what's the point? Well, again, the drugstore Christian claims to believe, but they have nothing to prove it. They have nothing to prove it. But for the real deal Christian, they prove their faith by their actions. They prove it. I mean, again, it's a part of every part of their life. Their home life, their work life, their, you know, again, their play life, their dating life, their marriage life, every part of their life honors God. That's what a person looks like that truly knows Him. And again, you say, well, what's the point? Well, Matthew 22, 37 says this. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with what? All. Not just, it doesn't say, you know, half. I mean, Sunday mornings for about an hour. It says, all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Listen, here's the truth. I'm friends with a lot of people. I get to ride with a lot of cowboys. And again, some of them claim to know Christ. Some of my friends claim to know Christ. They claim to know God. But here's the truth. I question it because of their actions. And you say, well, why do you even ride with them? Why are you even friends with them? Here's why. Because I love them. I love them. I mean, again, some churches would say, well, you know, if they claim to be a Christian and they're not really living it, you need to get out of their life. You need to get away from them. And again, at some point, if they're dogging your lifestyle, and not dogging your lifestyle, but if they're affecting and influencing your lifestyle, you may need to separate yourself from them. Because if they're leading you astray, you may need to separate yourself. But here's the truth. God desires for us to engage a world that lives like a drugstore Christian. He doesn't say, wait until they get better and then be their friend. No, He says, get in their lives and show them how they can be better. Walk with them, talk with them, ride with them, eat with them, drink with them. Do all those things that everybody else is doing, but show them what it's real, what it really looks like to be the real deal. And so listen, you may be here today, you may think, well, this church isn't for me again. I can't fit in because I'm not the real deal. No, listen, we desire for anybody and everybody at any walk of your life to be here so that you can become the real deal. It's just what it's about. And so here's the thing. Yeah, let's give it. You can clap. Come on. Here's the deal. I want to make this personal. Let me ask you this question. What do people know about your faith and the God and that you say you serve by watching your life? It's personal. Well, what do they know about your faith and the God that you say you believe in about watching your life? I'm gonna get a little more personal. What are they? How you talk? What do they know about that? How you talk? I'm gonna step on some toes. You're welcome. How do you talk? I mean, do you talk nice when I'm around? Do you talk nice when you're in church? But when you walk out, it's like you don't talk so nice. Hey, here's another question. How do you act? I mean, when something doesn't go your way, how do you act? How do you act, or how do you respond to your critics? I mean, here's another question. How do you love others? Are you a fickle lover of others? When somebody dogs you, are you done with them? Or do you show them mercy and grace and show them how to truly love somebody in spite of their sin? I mean, it reflects on who you really are. How do you raise your family? Here's the ultimate truth. If I was to ask your kids, are you the real deal, would they say yes or no? That's scary, isn't it? My kids have seen me screw up a lot. But here's the truth. You know what else they need to see? When I screw up, I go back to the Lord, I get on my knees, and I confess it, and then I get back up again, and I become the real deal all over again. That's the real deal. I mean, again, some of you are like, well, no, I'm not as perfect as the preacher. I'm not as perfect as those church people. I'm not a perfect teenager. I can't do any of this stuff perfectly. Listen, join the crowd. You can't be perfect. You're not perfect. There's only one person that was ever perfect, and His name was Jesus Christ. And you're not Him, and I'm not Him. But we can live for Him. And so listen, you say, well, I know I don't talk right. I know I don't act right. You know, but here's the truth. Actions speak louder than what? Words. Our conduct speaks volumes about whether we just believe in God or whether we know Him. The reality is this. We have many drugstore Christians in our world today. They say they believe in God, but they don't know Him. The truth is, those that know Him have experienced Him, and they live out their faith in everything that they do. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Nobody's looking around. If you've never been to our church, we don't ask you to come to the front, so don't be scared. But here's what I want to ask you. Nobody's looking around, but I want to know how the Lord is moving in your life, or if He's showing you something. How many of you guys would raise your hand and be honest and say, you know what, Bo, I'm a drugstore Christian. I talk it, but I don't walk it. Yeah, thank you for raising your hand. Thank you, thank you. I see all your hands. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. It's the first step. Listen, for those of you that just raised your hand, you know, again, that's the first step. Admitting it. Admitting that if you were to ask your kids, or, you know, anybody has asked your kids, Dad, the real deal, they probably have to say no. Whatever. Maybe they say, I don't know. But listen, here's the truth. Maybe you're here today and you want to be the real deal. You understand now what it is to look like a drugstore Christian. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship. Listen, here's what I challenge you to do. If you, again, maybe you've had an experience with God and you've experienced Jesus in your life, and you just need to maybe recommit your life today. You know that you're saved. You know that you've given your life to Christ, but you're not living the life. Listen, maybe your prayer needs to be this. God, I know I'm a drugstore Christian, and I want to give my all to You today. Everything that I have is Yours, Lord. From the words that I say, to the decisions that I make, to the way I treat others, to the way that I serve Your church, I'm all in. Listen, some of you need to make that commitment today. You need to recommit your life to Him. Stop living a fake imitation of what what everybody else thinks you ought to be, and start being the real deal. Now listen, some of you, you've never experienced God. You've never experienced Jesus, and you don't know Him personally. Listen, here's my challenge to you. You can know Him now. The Bible teaches us that if we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. You say, well, okay, but what's that look like? Well, it's simple. You confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart. You confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart. Here's the truth. A lot of people miss heaven by about 18 inches. You know how? Because they have this head knowledge. They don't have the heart knowledge. They have it in their mind, and in their mind from their head to their heart is about 18 inches. Listen, today you can know in your heart that you know Christ personally. And maybe you just need to pray this in your seat, in your heart. You don't have to say this out loud, but maybe you want to pray this simple prayer of salvation. Maybe it's something like this. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm a fake. And I want to be the real deal. Come into my life and save me from my sin. And I confess You as my Lord and Savior. And I believe that You rose from the dead and that You live. Forgive me of my sin. Listen, maybe you just prayed that prayer in your heart and you meant it. For the first time, here's what I'm going to ask you. Nobody's looking around, but how many of you guys would say, Bo, I just prayed that and meant it for the first time in my life? How many of you guys would raise your hand and say that? And I meant it for the first time in my life. Thank you. I see your hands. Thank you. Thank you, son. Thank you. Listen, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time in your life, you have now begun a life with Christ. This can be your experience that can start more and more experiences of life that is lived for the Lord and not for yourself. You say, Bo, okay, I've given my life to Christ. I've prayed that simple prayer. Now what do I do? Here's what you do. You let somebody know. And here's how we ask you to do that. You can fill out that orange card, or you can text your name to the number on the screen, and we will contact you about your decision that you made today. Whether you've recommitted and you want us to know about that, fill out the orange card or text your name to the number on the screen, and we will contact you. You say, why do I want to do that? Because here's the truth. You need our help. We need your help. We want to celebrate what God has done in your life, and we want to give you the tools that can help you become the real deal. It's not about just a decision. It's about becoming a disciple of God, a true believer. And so let us help you by letting us know about your decision today. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to close this in a word of prayer. If you have prayer requests, write them down on the orange card. Put them in the yellow bucket, and we will pray for your life and for those that are around you. Lord, thank you so much for showing us what it looks like to be the real deal. I thank you for those that are here today that are drugstore Christians. I pray today that they would leave knowing, beginning to know what the real deal looks like and committing to becoming the real deal. Lord, I pray for those that maybe have experienced you, that know you personally, but aren't living it. I pray that they would commit today to sell out and to give you all they've got, because we have no time to waste. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to know you and to serve you and to show you to other people. Give us the strength to do that. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys for being here today. Let's give the Lord a hand today. Have a blessed Father's Day.
Thank you for listening to this message from Pastor Bo Haig at Thousand Hills Ranch Church in Woodward, Oklahoma. Please join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. at the Woodward Livestock Auction.